This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
Stephen, earlier this month, 10 million cubic meters of wastewater plus more than 4 million cubic meters of sediment spilled into the Hazelton Creek after the dam at Mount Polly, 600 kilometers north of Vancouver, the mine's trailing pond failed. That's very technical language. Can you explain what that means in layman's terms?
Sure. Tailings ponds are contained with dams generally on either side or all four sides, depending on where it's at. The waste materials from the mill. So when you mine ore, you mine the ore, you crush it, you put chemicals in it to extract different minerals. What's left goes into the tailings pond, and it's supposed to go there forever. And in this case, one of the dams that held the tailings pond back failed, so it was a complete break of the dam.
Now, your members were on the ground responding to and supporting those that were affected. Can you describe that for our listeners?
Sure. I mean, this is a catastrophic failure. It's a disaster, as some people have been reluctant to call it, but it is a disaster, and our members obviously were helping immediately, but our members are also profoundly affected. They live in the communities, they fish, they hunt, and obviously they're employed, and their employment now is in jeopardy as well. So they're really affected adversely by this event.
So the consequences for your members are personal as well as, I guess, you know, financial, because they could lose their jobs, but it also, you know, affects, you know, the outlying community. What is that like right now? I mean, are people concerned that the environmental damage means that they have to relocate, or what does that?
Sure it is. And, you know, people have homes in the surrounding communities. They've established up there for a lot of good reasons. They like it in that area. So that's all at risk right now. So there's a great deal of fear about what happens in the future. There's concern over the creek and obviously the lakes that have been affected and surrounding ground that's been covered with the tailings. A great deal of concern amongst our membership, sure.
What kind of damage are we talking about to the environment, and how long will it take to do the cleanup, or is that still in the process of being decided?
Yeah, that's beyond my experience, but I've never seen a tailings dam break in Canada, and the sheer amount of material that came out in the form of it's almost like a slurry, like a really, really wet, muddy slurry that came out. It's not sand. It's waste material from a copper concentrator. So it's not nice stuff. It's out there. It did get into the lakes, and I have no idea what the cost of that would be, or the length of time it would take to clean it up, or even if you could recover it. All of it anywhere, most of it. I'm not sure if that's possible.
Were you surprised when the government, I believe it was the government, that came out so quickly and said that they'd done tests on the drinking water and everything was fine, almost, you know, minimizing the damage that had been done?
I'm not really surprised by anything that this government says, but I wouldn't drink the water. It's toxic, you know, so you could sit there and talk about levels or play fun with numbers on this stuff. But as I said earlier, a tailings impoundment or a tailings dam is never supposed to be released. So if it was okay to do so, then why do you have tailings dams and why do you have tailings impoundments? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. There's all kinds of stuff in there that shouldn't be, the people and the environment shouldn't be exposed to. So not surprised by their statement, because they were trying to do some damage control before they knew the facts. And again, you could talk about water and talk about dilution in a lake. I'm sure it dilutes, but I don't know how you dilute the solids that are there. You don't.
Was this an accident just waiting to happen?
Well, I don't know yet, but I've heard of tailings dam failures in developing countries. They're something that, in my experience in Canada, I have not seen. Seen a lot of tailings dams, and they're constructed properly and administered properly, then there is no issue with them, including long closed mines where tailings still set. So the experts that were announced yesterday, there's a panel of experts that will do an independent inquiry. They'll get to the bottom of it, I hope. We've asked for cooperation with that panel so that we can put input into it as well and receive updates as they proceed that can maybe help them. We do represent miners across Canada and have strategic connections around the world with other miners, so I'm sure we can offer some, not technical expertise, practical expertise on how mining companies run their operations, including their tailings operations.
Were there enough safety inspections being done over the years?
Well, there's word that the inspections have been caught. I've seen that in the media. We did write a letter to the Minister of Mines, the Chief Inspector of Mines, and copied the Minister of Mines the day after the disaster and asked for all the information that they had, including reports. Unfortunately, the Chief Inspector of Mines has chosen not to respond to us, which is baffling. But, we still await the information that we've requested, and that will, show that the inspections were down. The information that we've seen in the media that we're not arguing with indicates that the inspections are down.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, there's an independent investigation. An inquiry has been announced by the BC government. Your union wants to be a part of that, but so far you have received no response from the Minister of Mines. Has that changed since yesterday?
No, we asked him yesterday to include us, and he's committed to get back to us as of yesterday afternoon, and we've not yet heard today whether or not he'll do that. We also asked that our members, we now have 42 laid off, and I suspect there'll be a lot more, are employed in the cleanup operation so they can, start to rehabilitate the land and the water. We haven't got any word on that either. We also asked them to declare the area a disaster zone to see what relief we could obtain for our members and their families and the community. But he didn't respond to that yet either.
Obviously, this has had a huge impact. Obviously, ripple effects go through the entire community. I imagine it's affected just about every business and every person employed in the region.
Oh, yeah. There's a big tourism component to the area. It is beautiful British Columbia, and we don't say that because we just want to put it on a license plate. We believe it. And there's a big tourism and ecotourism that I think strives to compete in that area. And this stuff here just is really, really hard on everybody. Right down to the person that owns a corner store, it's difficult.
What are your next steps, Stephen?
Well, we'll continue to fight, and obviously we support the mining industry, not everywhere, not every mine, but we do support it. It provides a very good income for many of our members and their families, and it provides a good income for communities and all the people that work around there. And it is an industry that extracts resources, and just by the nature of that means that it disturbs land. That doesn't mean we can't do it if we do it right, and we're advocating that we always do it right, and we want to get to the bottom of this just like everybody else does, and we're very concerned for the mining industry in general and the reputation that this now puts across as an industry that you know, creates a lot of mess for people, and that's what we don't want to see. So we want to make sure that if the regulations weren't being formed, that people are held accountable for that, including the ministry responsible, the government responsible for this, because these things should not happen.
Is any part of the mine still running, or was it shut down completely?
Well, the mill or the concentrator is not running, and they're not hauling ore. So all they can do is try to repair or put a small coffer dam around where the leakage was, and try to stop any more leakage coming out into the environment. And I think that's it for now. So they're just working to try to clean up what they can. And you know, our members, once again, are the last ones to know what's going on. So, you know, we're just trying to work with them to ensure that they can work as long as they can. And that once again, any cleanup work, they're the experts in this stuff. So we're urging that the government do something to ensure that they're employed to do that.
Any opportunities for your employees to be, or your members to be relocated elsewhere?
Well, not yet. I mean, that's something that we can talk to other mining companies, and I'm scheduled to meet with some mining companies this week, and I will definitely advance that. People keep telling us there's a shortage of workers in Canada. Yeah, I'm not sure if I believe that, but there's no shortage coming out of the Mount Polly mine right now, I'm sure. So we'll be looking to see if some other employers would take some people.
Anything else you'd like to add, Stephen?
No, that's good. Thanks.
Okay, thanks so much for taking the time to interview with Rabble.ca.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For Rabble.ca, this is John Bonner. Thank you for listening to John Bonner's audio blog, hosted by Rabble.ca and the Rabble Podcast Network.